This week, on a special episode of WebMD's Health Discovered podcast, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
When I first heard the words, "you have lung cancer," I was in shock.
It's a diagnosis that changes everything. So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you've got spring fever, Lowe's has the cure. During Spring Fest, make your landscape stand out with three free bags of Miracle-Gro 3/4 cubic foot garden soil when you buy three. Plus, get up to 40% off select major appliances to keep clothes, food, and dishes fresh all season long. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 4/22 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for details. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome to part two of our conversation with Brian Messinger about uncovering the dead.
Let's start on the train, because I do want to go back to the priest's house. I want to talk about your experience in that church rectory. I think those two can almost tie together in somewhat. But let's talk about the train. Let's talk about kind of almost inanimate objects. You know, a train being a very large inanimate object, but still an object. It doesn't have emotions. It doesn't have a memory. It certainly emits energy and things of that nature by the fact of what it's doing. What are your thoughts on that? With ghost trains, ghost, ships, things of that nature, these large behemoth of objects that almost, you know, when you see them in real life, have a kind of a haunting quality to them because of what they're able to do. And then today we have all these, you know, abandoned rail lines and areas where, you know, shipping doesn't happen anymore, or shipwrecks, things of that nature. What are your thoughts on vehicles, objects, things like that still being seen? And what's your take on all of that?
Well, you know, science tells us that energy never ceases to exist. It merely changes shape and form.
Yeah.
So I think that has a lot to do with it. I mean, something energy made the train. Let's just use the train as an example. Mm-hmm. Energy made it, took energy to build it. It used energy to move it. And when they dismantled it, it took energy to take it apart. Now, I'm not saying the train has a life force or anything like that, but there's something to the energy theory in my mind. Mm-hmm. And you stop and think about, you know, the building we were investigating used to be a hotel for the train coming through town. And, you know, it's one of those things that maybe it just imprinted itself somehow on that building, because so many people came off those trains and rode those trains to see the loved ones or whatever. Maybe that energy's still floating around a little bit. Or it's cutting that, you know, as I said before, like kind of almost like a time loop. Mm-hmm. And every once in a while, it just kind of pops up. And there's nothing to say that maybe there was another spirit there that was trying to talk to us, maybe in their timeline, and the train went by. Who knows? Mm-hmm. You know, again, I wish I had all the answers, because boy, I'd be wealthy. But
sure. I mean, it's just all opinion. And that's why I asked this. I know nothing you're going to say is, "oh, wow, now we have the answers. Thank you."
That's it. Got it. Yes.
Right there. When we ask, it's just, I like to hear everyone's perspective on all these things.
Yeah, that's just kind of my take on it.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that even with like the ships, you know, you stop and think about like, you know, these ghost ships that people see and all this, a traumatic event happened. Let's say a ship went down, you know, or it sank or caught fire or whatever the case may be. That's a pretty traumatic event. And there can be a lot of energy imprinted into that object, even though it's sitting on the bottom of the ocean. Maybe now it's got so much energy imprinted onto it that it's going to be the Flying Dutchman, as it were.
Sure.
Who knows? You know, that's just kind of my theory on it.
Mm-hmm.
again, not saying it's right or wrong, but that's just kind of my take on that.
Do you consider yourself somewhat sensitive?
Maybe a little. Mm-hmm. I get weird smells. I'll leave it,
sure.
Of all the things in the world to get, I can walk into certain places and I get these overwhelming smells mm-hmm. that nobody else can get. And I'm finding that I'm pretty on target with them, especially when you start finding out the history of the building. Mm-hmm. And my friend Dana, who's the psychic on our team, has pretty much said that, hey, dum-dum, your grandmother had it. Mm-hmm. It's inevitable that you're going to get some of it.
Sure.
Because I think my dad has a little bit of it. Mm-hmm. She said this is kind of your waking up moment, as it were.
So yeah.
I don't know how to feel about that yet.
Sure.
But I don't know why I got smells instead of seeing dead people, but smells it is. So
I ask because I'm wanting your perspective on something that has to do with the objects, and specifically like trains. I don't consider myself very sensitive. There's mm-hmm. like a 1 to 10. I'm maybe like a 2 or a 3. Probably a little bit more aware than the average person, but not seeing or hearing dead people, sure. by myself that others are not. Enough to be, if I'm in an environment, I can kind of feel if something is off or weird or different or whatnot. And I always felt different on, I used to hike an abandoned rail line. I grew up in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin.
Not too far.
Yep. And there was a rail line there that now it's a fully paved walking path. When I was a kid, it was just, it was paved or by four wheelers that would go down it or snowmobiles. Sure. So it would get grown over sometimes. But I loved walking down that rail line. And I don't know why, but I was always so drawn to it. And there was an energy to that place that I when I look back on, I can feel it and I can think about, yeah, there was something about that. It wasn't just kind of this is a neat trail, but there was something different about the feel of walking down that versus just going to, a nature park somewhere and doing the hiking around there. Do you agree? Do you feel the same when you're going on something or walking down the remnants of an old rail line or being in maybe an old structure that used to have a lot of energy and people in it, abandoned malls come to mind. There's something where a lot of energy was expelled at one point in time. You can still feel it versus a place that maybe didn't have a whole lot of energy going on at it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, several people on our team, I think, have some gifts. We have a couple of empathic type people on the team. A couple psychics mm-hmm. and yeah, I would agree 100%. I've walked into places, and Gettysburg is a great example. Mm-hmm. We went to Gettysburg as a team. We do a yearly team trip. We went 2 years ago to Gettysburg. We didn't really do a lot of ghost hunting news per se. It was more about the history of it. Mm-hmm. But, we Dana and I got out of the car, and I don't know if you're familiar with Gettysburg, but there's an area called Little Round Top.
Okay.
Pretty brutal battle took place there. And we stepped off of the pavement onto the grass, and literally, she was like thrown back almost. And I had this horrible smell of blood and just gunpowder type smells, mm-hmm. Very strong and almost to the point of making me nauseous. And Dana, the same thing. She had to get off the grass. She couldn't just stand on the grass. She was blown away by it. And not knowing a lot of the history of what happened in the actual battle, there happened to be a sign there that was talking about this is basically where the Southern troops, a group of them, were slaughtered by the North in that area. And, you stop and think about what happened at Gettysburg, the energy that's imprinted on that alone. It was one of those wow moments, like you said, and then you go to other places and you like, this is nice. It's calm here. It's very calming. There's nothing going on. We've been to houses where, you walk in, you're like, ooh, hair stands up right away, and what's mm-hmm. going on here? The place in Whitewater I had mentioned with the train whistle is one of those places where every time we go there, we walk in and you just get this feeling of, wow, there's just so much happened here.
Yeah.
We've seen a pair of legs walk across the basement in that place.
Yeah.
Just legs, how to, just nothing but the, from the knee down.
Yeah.
The same with the church that we used to investigate. You'd walk into that place and you just knew you weren't alone.
Mm-hmm.
You just had that feeling that you were not alone here.
Yeah.
You know, the church had a long history. It used to be a stables and a fighting ring, and it's, you know, it's a massive barn. It's a, just a huge old barn. Yeah.
Interesting.
So yeah. Other places and nothing.
And let's talk about that church, because I wanted to hear more. Is this the same church where you were in the rectory and you saw? Okay. So tell me more about this church, its history, and then what attracted you to investigate it?
So the church originally was built as a stables and a carriage house to store carriages by a very wealthy family in late 1800s, early 1900s, I believe it was. And then the owner was really into boxing, and I can't remember the boxer's name who fought there, but he sponsored him and he would train there. So he set up boxing rings and kind of turned it into a gym for a while. Then the building was bought by a local school district, and they used to store buses in it. Mm-hmm. And they would drive the buses around. Actually, one half of the structure is missing in the riding arena area, but they would park buses in there. Fast forward, then the Episcopal Church purchased the property and, you know, built the rectory and built, you know, the chapel. And, you know, there's like a almost like a smaller chapel area, that type of thing. And they also had a thrift store in the back. That's how they make a little money to support the building.
Sure.
And we happened to get in there through a friend of mine who's actually on the team. He knew the priest and his wife, pastor and his wife. And they got us in there to investigate. She was telling us about the stuff that had happened there all the time. And we went in and did one night of investigating to start. And had some cool stuff, you know, just a little, you could hear footsteps walking in the old hayloft, little light anomalies here and there. And some of the signs, there's like shields for each of the archangels and the different angels they have up. They have their like coat of arms, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And every once in a while, we'd straighten them out and we'd come back and they'd be turned.
Yeah.
Which I always thought was kind of cool. So it just kind of became a game there. And we investigated probably a dozen times. And throughout the course of it, we discovered that there is a little girl that is, for lack of a better term, trapped there or in there. And we found that out one night in the thrift store. I asked if anybody wanted to talk to us, and four of us heard it clear as day, a little girl's voice say, "Hello, I'm here." And seconds later, the bathroom light flipped on and the faucet went on. I was like, "Oh, all right. Who's in the bathroom? Wait, all four of us are here. So it's none of us," you know, one of those moments.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we've actually seen her face float through the air in the main entry area, where, you know, kind of the foyer entry. We watched her face float through there, and we caught her on Facebook Live one time, popping her head up through a window and looking at us, which was very cool. We also had seen her sitting in the smaller chapel, put her hands up on the glass and peek her face up and over into the window and look at us. So yeah, we've had some great interaction with her. We, you know, we've left her some toys and stuff, and the toys get moved around according to the priest and his wife now, and they've left them there for her, a doll and, you know, a couple of those little things.
Let me ask this, because this is interesting, and the perspective of the pastor at this church, because this sounds like a very different type of church haunting than, you know, one that had been a church for, you know, 100 years and it's old, you know, members of the congregation, things of that nature. This building had been repurposed several times over.
Yes.
Number one, I guess the question would be, how and what does the pastor make of this concept of the spirit of a little girl haunting this church so far to the point of saying, let's put toys out and things of that nature? Because wouldn't the belief system be of the pastor that when you die, it's heaven or hell? There shouldn't be a little girl spirit wandering around the church still. How does he, based on what the common belief is of many in that faith, would believe for, you know, what happens when one dies?
So I think it's more his wife that embraces it. that, you know, there's this little girl there.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like, yeah, okay, she's here, but he wants to help her move along. And that's, you know, and I can respect that.
Sure.
But to my knowledge, to this date, that she doesn't want to move along. She kind of likes it there.
She feels at peace there.
Yeah. And the backtracking a little bit on the history of the church, the family that used to that built the barns, again, and when they originally built all these, a very wealthy family. Their daughter drowned in a pool at the mansion on the other side of town. I'm not saying it's her, but it sure seems like a coincidence.
Yeah.
I can see it being the kind of place where, you know, she'd be very happy being around horses and all that as a young lady or a young girl.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing it's probably a very calming spot to her, and that's why she remains there.
Sure.
As for the large thing that came out of the floor and stood over me, I can't tell you what that's all about
or
why it's there. I do have a photograph of it's, I guess it would be called almost like a tunic or kind of like the purple, like an apron almost that the pastor wears.
Mm-hmm.
We have a picture of that floating about 8 foot in the air that we didn't even realize we captured just taking random pictures during the day, floating in the back room in the rectory where I saw this shadow with what almost looks like the shadow in it, wearing it, floating in the air about 8 foot up.
What sort of feeling did you get when you were in that space and you had that experience emotionally?
The entire church itself is very pleasant, very calm. That particular room, it's an uneasy feeling for me.
Mm-hmm.
Most of my investigators that have been in there have said the same thing. It's not a good feeling in that room. It used to be the caretaker of the properties, like almost like his little house.
Mm-hmm.
There's a second floor there. He kind of lived in that area. Don't know his name. Don't know what he was about, you know, from way back when.
Yeah.
But it's just an uneasy feeling in that room. It's almost like a, I don't want to call it a dark energy, but it's unnerving a little bit to be in there.
Do you suspect that at some point in time in history that maybe not so good of things occurred in that area amongst the living?
Yeah, there's always that possibility. You know, again, I've generally my opinion on people isn't so great as a fireman for 30 years.
Sure.
But, there's always a good chance that something dark and or not so good or nefarious happened in that room.
Yeah.
With the caretaker, who knows? But that room in particular is a very uneasy feeling.
Yeah. And I'm not saying it's necessarily tied to the church today or anything, just because of all the things that have changed with that building and having been so many things. But how would you compare the feeling that you get in that room to the feeling that you get at the house of the priest who allegedly abused children? Completely different area, completely different, you know, church and everything like that.
But the house of the neighbor of the priest, actually, is the neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
That is a very uneasy feeling in that whole house, from the upstairs to the first floor to especially the basement. The basement itself is just, I don't know anybody who's been in that basement who doesn't like it. Just, you know, the people that have worked there don't want to go in the basement. They always feel like they're being watched, or it's just a very dark, horrific feeling, as that they've told me. They just don't like that basement or that place. I would say the house that we investigated with the basement, where we got the hello, I'm down here, or I'm sorry, help me, I'm down here.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely a much darker feeling compared to that church, the rectory room.
Yeah. Tell me about that building, the house that you investigated. How did you come across that one, and how did that investigation begin?
That was actually our very first investigation as a new team that we formed in 2014. That was our very first one as a group, and it came across as I actually knew somebody who worked there, and she had mentioned it was a like a spa type place at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And she had mentioned that, you know, things had flown off the shelves while they were, you know, she was a receptionist. She had mentioned that things had flown off the shelf and whatnot, and I had stopped in there one day just to talk to her a little bit about it, and the owner was there. And I said, you know, would you like us to investigate the building for you? She's like, yeah, sure. Why not? Let's do it. What the heck? I said, okay, cool. So we investigated, and that's how that came about. We investigated it, and in the one night, we probably got two really good pieces of video, had several really good experiences, and probably 14 or 15 different EVPs in one night. On our video, we caught a carpet square on the steps roll up and fly up and off the staircase, like little treads, the covers. You know, and we went back and forth. There's no HVAC, no fans, nothing. We had something that seemed to be tapping one of the cameras, you know, would like vibrate.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd ask it to stop and it would stop, and then it would do it again. We'd like, please stop doing that. And it would stop. Had some weird light anomalies in one room upstairs. And then personal experiences, we had a shadow come into a room close to us. And one of the investigators asked, what are you? And it, you know, bolted out of the room and it went past the top of the stairwell. And the other investigators coming up the stairway saw it go by.
Mm-hmm.
And it was moving pretty quick. You know, it was just a small black mass, about 4 or 5 foot tall. Yeah, and the EVPs, like I said, we got some children's voices. We got sounds like a toy piano being played.
Yeah.
Almost like a little horn being played in the basement. It's almost like there were toys down there, which makes it even creepier.
Yeah.
And we put everything together. And, you know, as a team, when we get all of our stuff together, we put it onto a jump drive and we present it to the client,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that they have a record of it and they can review it and whatever. So we showed her everything, and she told us to never come back and that we caused all these problems. I'm like, but you, okay. So, it's like, you called us, but
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. People are funny, aren't they?
Yeah. And since then, she has sold the business, and I'm actually working with the new owner to try and get us back in there.
Yeah. When you have something like that, when you're into a structure or building that had negative things, you know, in this case, allegedly occur, and it, sometimes you can confirm, you know, occurrences and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you have negative energy and weird energy and things that just make you feel off. Do you think that the actions of the living, the heinous acts that some people performed, and we're talking here about abusing children,
sure.
Do you think those acts, the fact that someone did that, it's not necessarily the energy that's there. It's not necessarily the abuser that may be deceased and haunting the place. But do you think it almost kind of puts a stain on the environment and attracts negative other energies? And I you could go as far as to say, you know, demonic, dark type things.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could say, you know, just, you know, shitty people that are spirits that are out there lurking for like-minded or just kind of dark places, because that's, if they were that type of person in life, they're probably still kind of drawn to darkness and death. Does it kind of become a habitat for negativity after that?
Yeah. I mean, I've always said, you know, just again, as part of my career, that dirty attracts dirty.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a firm believer now, being in the paranormal field for the better part of a decade,
mm-hmm.
that evil attracts evil, darkness attracts darkness.
Yeah.
And, yeah, absolutely. I think for, you know, what potentially possibly happened there, I can't prove that, obviously.
Yeah.
But if that's the kind of things that went on there, yeah, absolutely. I think it makes it almost like a little haven for other just darker crap, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah.
To, hey, this is a cool place to hang out because some real scumbags lived here. And unfortunately, it's stained, like you said, that environment. It stained the energy there. It's trapped the residual, and or with any luck, just residual, not the spirits of these children are not actually trapped there, which would be horrific.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think with, you know, that kind of trauma and stuff, yeah, it's going to make its mark. And that's just absolutely horrific to me, you know?
To me, it feels like those sort of things stand out even more when that energy is in a location that otherwise should certainly not have it, particularly like a church environment. There have been, I don't know if it's just, you know, the mindset of going into a church that's no longer a church, you know, that you can just see, you know, especially the older ones, how ornate some of them were and such.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some you walk into and you still feel kind of peaceful. And there's some you walk into and go, some dark shit went on here.
Yes. Yes. I agree with you 100%. You know, and I go back to Gettysburg. We walked into there's a church there downtown in the circle. Mm-hmm. It was used as a battlefield hospital.
Yeah.
And when you walk in there, you just, it's like, wow, it's just overwhelming. You can feel the sorrow in there. Mm-hmm. And it hits you like a ton of bricks. And I don't think it matters who you are. You walk in there and you think about what happened there, and it just, it pummels you. You know? And like you said, I've been to other churches. You walk in, you're like, this is just a very calming, peaceful, serene place. And yeah, you've walked in, we've walked into other buildings and like, hey, what the hell happened here?
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, I think you're spot on with that.
There's one that comes to mind up in Wisconsin, in Berlin, Wisconsin, very close to where I grew up. It's a church, or it was a church. It's now in like an antique type store. And it is, I believe it was an older Catholic church. It still has, all of the, you walk in and it you feels, the ornateness of, what those Catholic churches looked like, from 1900 to, 1980 something, when they started to kind of, consolidate and change up. But it's a very neat place to go into, and there's so many amazing things to see in that place. But oh my God, there is a weird energy to that building. And many people have said it, and I've talked about it on the shows before. And I don't know what the history is. I don't know if anything happened there, but that's just the weird vibe that I've gotten. Are you familiar with the building I'm talking about?
I've heard of it. Okay. I can't think of the exact location, but my friend Dana has mentioned it. She's been from up that way.
Yeah.
And she has mentioned it, and it's a place on the bucket list to visit.
It's worth checking out. They're only open certain, they're at very, very odd hours. And I only visit Wisconsin rarely now, but I've been in there, I think once or twice. I've caught it luckily to go in, but it's one of the most interesting structures I think I've ever been in. And you go even like the basement, and then it takes you to like where the Sunday school areas were, and all mm-hmm. of it just has such a weird energy to it. I don't know. Some of it could be psychological, because you're walking through the remnants of, what was this active place. And many of us have memories of these places when they were active. So to see them in these different states is kind of strange. It almost kind of has that, abandoned mall feel, if you will.
But
there's something else I feel like going on there. When you have a building like that that's been essentially stained, or there's negative energy that seems to be lurking in it, do you believe that those buildings can ever be cleansed of that energy, or is it kind of a permanent spot on history, and really the only thing that can be done is, it's time to take this place down and do something new?
It's one of those things that I don't know if you can ever get rid of that kind of dark energy. Things that have happened, like I said, that's one of those things for it stains your soul.
Yeah,
is the best way to put it. And you stop and think about, not to use it as an example. Well, I guess as an example would be like Auschwitz. There's no way to ever cleanse that.
Sure.
There's no way you could ever remove the horrific things and the sorrow from that building.
It's like the ultimate example. Yeah. I mean, it's like, you're not going to put a mall there.
Yeah. You put up a parking garage, and I think you'd still have issues.
Yes.
It's one of those things that you can never clean. Can you clean where the spa is? Maybe. I don't know. I think the building's, it's old, it's 150 years old. I think even if you put up a new house, you're still going to have some issues.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion. I don't think you can ever really truly cleanse any particular location of its full haunting.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe you might be able to put it at bay for a little bit.
Yeah.
But that's about it. I think if it wants to be there, it's going to be there. That's just my opinion.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Brian. A big thank you to him for joining us and sharing his experiences with us on the program. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
It's tax season, and by now, we're all a bit tired of numbers. But here's an important one you need to hear. $16 billion. That's how much money and refunds the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud. But it's not all grim news. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. If your identity is stolen, they'll fix it. Guaranteed. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Here's the truth. You could literally be adored by everyone and then come home and still get completely ignored by your own cat. It's classic cat behavior. But new Shiba Premium Puree is a lickable treat that changes all that. They're protein-rich, made with bone broth, and have the smooth, creamy texture cats go crazy for, especially when it's hand-fed. Yeah, it's more than a treat. It's a fast pass to favorite human status. So feed your cat Shiba and go from totally ignored to truly adored in just 12 days, guaranteed, or your money back. Learn more at Shiba.com.